And as you're being seated and settled, I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and find your place in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 18 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. Jeremiah chapter number 18. It never ceases to amaze what the Lord will use to speak to somebody in the preparation to bring a message from His Word. Of course, this week, Manny and I, we went down to Philly to pick up my dad. And as is custom, when you go on a road trip, you can't help but run into somewhere along the way construction. And I remember as we were coming home, I said to Mandy, write this down for me and send it to me in a message. And I said, active work zone. That's all I said. Active work zone, send it over to me. And she said, well, why? And all I said at the time was, well, I have a thought. And sometimes that could be a bad thing. But every now and again, you know, as the saying goes, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn a time or two, or even, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. And so we were driving and again hit the construction. And, you know, if you've ever driven through a construction zone, you know one thing, everything slows down. You get bright orange cones, flashing arrows, cones are everywhere. Whether they're standing or whether somebody's kind of, as they were driving, you know, kind of clipped them, and you know, you see them kind of, you know, falling down. I've always thought it would be fun, you know, as you're driving, you know, just to see it as close as you can get to them without actually touching them. But then I also thought sometimes it might be fun, see how close you can get to them and see, you know, how many you can knock down before you, you know, lose that game. But cones everywhere, uneven pavements. And typically, when you get to some places, you find somebody holding a stop sign. And some, you know, it's always one of two people who are usually holding that stop sign. One, the person who seems like they would rather be anywhere else but there. But then sometimes you run into the one and they're holding the stop sign and they just look like they're enjoying it to no end. And then you see that big phrase, active work zone, be prepared to stop. And we think, well, why is that? Well, because obviously work is happening and progress takes time. And because a road under construction is not yet what it will be. And now I want you to take that and I want you to try and think of it within a spiritual context. And I want you to imagine that your Christian life has over it a sign hanging that says, active work zone, God is still working on me. Now, if you've been in Sunday schools any growing up, you may have remembered the old children's chorus, and this is the truth behind that old children's chorus. Many of us who grew up in Sunday school grew up singing, He's still working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. And the truth is this morning that every believer, every Christian, no matter how long that they've been saved, is under construction. No matter how long you have been saved, no matter how long you have been in church, you are still under construction. God is still working on you. And we are not finished vessels. We are forming vessels. We're not yet in the showroom We're still on the assembly line. We're still on the potter's wheel. And sometimes, just sometimes, the Holy Spirit of God has to, in our life, raise a big old orange sign in front of us and tell us, hey, stop a minute and let God work. You're there this morning, Jeremiah, chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18, and we'll begin reading there at verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." For a few moments more, I'd like to preach this. This is just a very simple thought. Active work zone. Active work zone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And thank you now for this opportunity that we have to again gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And now, Lord, we just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray they not leave this place without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior, that heaven's their home, that their sins are forgiven. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that they need encouragement from you, they need to hear from you this morning, we pray they would hear from you this morning. Speak to hearts this morning is our prayer. Meet with us in a special and real way as only you can. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you now and we need you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message of Jeremiah chapter 18 is built around one of Scripture's most vivid object lessons. In fact, this here, the potter's vessel of clay, or the potter and the clay, it's actually the fourth object lesson that God uses here in Jeremiah. He has used up to this point an illustration, an object lesson about the almond rod. He has used an object lesson about the boiling pot. He has used an object lesson about the linen girdle. And now, here in chapter 18, we come to the potter and the clay. And we see that this fourth object lesson, as we read it, it becomes really very quickly unforgettable. A divine illustration of God's power to mold, to remake, and judge his people. Jeremiah, he watches here as the potter. He takes the vessel, he shapes the vessel. And we read there, notice verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." The Hebrew word there for marred, that word marred means ruined or spoiled or corrupted or damaged. But there's something very interesting we see here is that even though this clay is ruined and spoiled and corrupted and damaged, the potter does not throw the clay away. In fact, notice what he does, last part of verse number 4. "So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." And so we see here God applies the illustration directly. Notice verse number 6. "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And so we see here Israel, like the clay, had been marred by sin. But God was still willing, still able to remold the vessel. God was telling Israel, listen, I know that you have been marred by sin, but I can still work with you. I can still work in you. I can still change you. But I want you to notice verse number 12 and Judah's tragic reply. The Bible says there, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. What a sad, tragic verse. God is saying here, I know that you're marred by sin. I know that the world says that you're ruined and spoiled and corrupted and damaged. And I know people say that there's no hope for you. But as long as you're in my hands, I can make you into something beautiful. And they reply, there is no hope. There is no hope. Rather than surrender to the potter's shaping hands, they rejected his message. And then later on, you know, you find that they even sought to kill Jeremiah. Because they hardened themselves, God will give them a second object lesson in chapter 19. In fact, turn there one chapter over. Jeremiah is sent to the Valley of Hinnom with a finished pottery bottle. Notice there, if you would, Jeremiah chapter number 19 and verse number 10. Jeremiah 19, verse 10, the Bible says, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Trophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city of Tophet, and the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. We see there, God, he says here, even so will I break this people. You see, clay that will not yield very quickly becomes clay that is broken. And the truth is this: when clay refuses the potter, it becomes brittle. But when the clay yields to God, it becomes beautiful. And so there's four things I wanted to see this morning. Number one, the potter's purpose. The potter's purpose. And we see that God is actively working on you. God is actively working on you. Notice there, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. We saw it last week, but God teaches us when we need to slow down. Here in verse number 2, he says, arise and go down. That phrase, go down, it refers to both physically and spiritually. God often speaks loudest when life forces us to slow down. You know, you ever meet some people, and I mean, they are just, I mean, you know, some people you meet, they're alcoholics, some are drug addicts, and, you know, you have to go to Alcoholics Anonymous or, the one for drugs or, more for Christian base that Celebrate Recovery and Reform is Unanimous and so on and so forth. And but then sometimes you meet some people, they have another type of addiction. And, you know, that's of being a workaholic. And they think that for whatever reason, they need to work, 24/7. They just need to go, 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 go. And I always tell people who are like that, I say, listen, the God of heaven, the God of creation, after 6 days, on the seventh day, God rested. And so if the God of heaven, and listen, we know the God of heaven, he didn't need to rest. But he rested to give us an example that we need to slow down. Again, just like that construction zone, God sometimes puts a sign up in our life that says, hey, slow down. There's a work in progress. But we also see God is not a casual observer. He is a working potter. Listen, this morning, God is not watching you from a distance. He is hands-on. He is intentional. He is personal. He is deliberate. And so this morning, if your life feels messy, good. Because work zones usually are. If you feel unfinished, well, that's because you are. If you feel pressure, that's the potter shaping the clay. And if God has slowed you down, it's not punishment, it's preparation. And so we see the potter's purpose. Then secondly this morning, we see the clay's problem. We see the clay's problem that we are marred vessels. We are marred vessels. Notice there, if you would, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. We see here the clay has defects. Clay, it naturally contains air bubbles, hard lumps, mixed textures, weak fibers. It's marred. It has defects. And guess what? So do we. But here's the good news. The clay may have been marred, but it was still in his hands. Nothing here in our text says that the clay ever left the potter's hand. And so your failure, your flaw, your weakness, listen, none of those things remove you from God's grip. Listen, everybody has construction problems. The saying goes, don't judge her yet. There's an unfinished part. And the reason, listen, we need to learn this, especially as Christians, the reason we should not judge others is because the potter isn't done with them yet. And listen, we're all the same. People complain about unfinished highways all the time. Oh, this looks terrible. Why is this taking so long? They should have been done by now. You know, I joke every summer, it has seemed since we've been here, they have done some type of road work over on Keystone Avenue. Just tearing it up and redoing it, just tearing up and redoing it. And it seems like every summer there's something going on and it makes you go out of your way and a detour and all the rest. And we complain about those unfinished highways. But you know, people say the same thing about Christians. But they don't see the blueprints. God does. And so we see this morning the potter's purpose. We see the clay's problem. And then thirdly, we see the potter's patience. We see the potter's patience. Notice there, if you would, Jeremiah 18 and verse number 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. We see here that God doesn't throw the clay away. God is a God of second chances. God is a God of second makings. He didn't throw the clay away. He didn't discard the clay. He reworked it. And we serve a God this morning who restores, who renews, who rebuilds, who reshapes, who refines. But sanctification requires stopping. Listen, we cannot be reshaped while speeding. And sometimes God has to hold up the sign, stop, yield to the potter. Yield to the potter. A mason once said this. He said, you know, I could fix this concrete if the dog would just stop running across it. Sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit of God has to say to us. I'm trying to do something with this person's life. And if they just get out of the way, I could fix this. And listen, sometimes you and I are our own worst enemies. And sometimes you and I, we get in the way of God. And we prevent God from working. And God just say, listen, if you just get out of my way and let me work, I can fix it. And so we see the potter's patience. Then fourthly this morning, fourthly, we see finally the potter's plan. The potter's plan. Notice there, verse number 6. The Bible says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And so here's the potter's hand. And that is God making you and making me like Christ. You see, this morning, God has a blueprint for every vessel. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 8:29, the Bible says to be conformed to the image of His Son. Meaning to be shaped together. To be shaped together with. To be fashioned like. God's blueprint is that we become more like Christ every single day. The Bible tells us the Word of God is the mirror. As an old chorus of an old hymn goes, in the mirror of His Word, reflections that I see. James chapter 1 describes Scripture as that mirror. And that mirror, listen, you wake up in the morning, you stumble your way to the bathroom, you put on the light, you look in the mirror. You know, before you've had a chance to shower, before you've had a chance to brush your teeth, use some mouthwash, brush your hair, wash your face. I mean, you look into that mirror, and that mirror, it reveals every flaw that you have. It exposes and shows all of the rough edges that you need to tidy up. It shows, you know, before you have a chance to brush your hair, it shows the gray hairs that are starting to, you know, peek through. The mirror is no respecter of person. It exposes sin. It identifies cracks. It calls out stubbornness. The scripture shows us what we need to change. The potter uses pressure, turning, and heat. And that's what shapes the clay. Clay is shaped by pressure. For us, that's our trials. Clay is shaped by turning. That's our circumstances. Clay is shaped by the heat. That's our testings. It's shaped by water, the Word. It's shaped by hands, the Holy Spirit of God. So what are we to do? Simple. Yield to the process. Yield to the process. Isaiah 64:8, the Bible says, "We are the clay, and thou art the potter." And so when God presses us, surrender. When God turns, trust. When God heats, be faithful. When God softens, respond. So this morning, the sign over every believer's life. If your spiritual life had a sign on it right now, it would say that. Active work zone. God is still working on me. God is shaping you. God is forming you. God is patient with you. God has not given up on you. He made you once in salvation. He will make you again in sanctification. And so what are we to do? Simple. Slow down. Let God work. Secondly, surrender. Yield to the potter's hand. Number three, search. Look daily into the mirror of the Word. Fourthly, show grace. Every believer, every Christian, is an unfinished vessel. And then fifthly, stay. Stay put. Remain on the potter's wheel. Whatever you do, don't quit. Because God has not quit on you. And He never will quit on you. And you'll always be held in His hand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.